You are listening to Figuring Shit Out with Dr. Nikki Naradin, where you can finally get yourself out of that state of confusion. Confusion is the stealer of dreams, and move into some clarity so that you can really like live your passion, your hope, your dream, anything you ever wanted. It's all possible. You could feel better really, really quickly. All right, enjoy the episode. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Nikki, your bonus person. I kind of took away bonus mama because I feel like I'm talking to everybody, really. So I'm your bonus person, maybe the wind beneath your wings to help you soar as high as you could possibly soar, just to get you out of confusion and so on. And I'm in the middle of a divorce, and so I'm calling myself the bonus ex, which in my mind means that if my husband wants to couple, and he definitely does, that I could be that ex that tells his future wife that he's a pretty good guy. You should definitely marry him. I mean, I'm kind of bonus to the whole situation. Like, my family could just get bigger and bigger. Maybe this person has kids of their own, and then my kids will have other siblings, other young adult siblings, or somebody that they could be close to. I mean, really, things could be very expansive, which is interesting because when we think about divorce, we think about dividing and somehow not coming together at all. But I have this idea that I want to have like a radical divorce, meaning that we could be as close as ever. I truly know that I am my husband's best friend and has been. And you kind of know that's true. As women, we get to be really connected to other people, other women, our children, in ways that men are not allowed to be connected. They really have their humanity taken away at a very early age. I always say men's oppression runs so that young boys can grow up to be people who join the military and then go off and kill people. And so if you're going to do that, you have to really remove a huge piece of humanity. And if you look at studies, the amount of time that young boys get touched or played with or connected with or allowed to have emotions is much, much, much smaller than young girls. So in some ways, I feel really fortunate that I was born a girl or born with this girl's sensibility. I know that there are other young people that were not necessarily born biologically as girls in terms of their anatomy. And I still think that if you're a guy transitioning, that you still had to struggle and suffer with whatever the boy's oppression was like as a young one. But clearly there was a way in which the humanity wanted you to head in a different direction. So it's kind of exciting. But this idea of having a radical divorce where we get to be as close as possible. So like I said, I'm definitely my husband's best friend. And I see no reason why I can't be. Just because I don't want to be lovers, just because I'm not interested in that particular romantic aspect of the relationship, doesn't mean that we cannot be really good friends where we could talk about whatever it was that we talked about before. And if there is an interest in a different kind of romantic relationship with other people, then we could even talk about that a bit or help each other move along in that particular arena and realm. And speaking of dating, I did kind of head to a singles site, which I'm not actually interested in having a relationship at this point. I had a relationship for 25 years and it was pretty awesome. And I raised two pretty fantastic young adult children who are doing amazing things at the moment and always are doing amazing things and will be doing amazing things in the future, whatever it is that they do. But we had this really lovely 25 years together. And like I said, I'm not that interested in dating, but I thought, you know, online dating stuff is almost like a little gift. And I'm always amazed when people are really, really disappointed and discouraged from online dating. I mean, the idea probably for them is that they are going to find the absolute right person for them. And when the absolute right person either shows itself and turns out not to be, or it doesn't end up being there, or there's lots of discouragement and disappointment, people get really sunk in relation to it. But the way I think about these online dating services is that all of a sudden I look on a website and there are pictures of people that are interested in possibly dating me or not. I don't even know. And I don't even care that much. But those were pictures that I hadn't seen the other day. These were completely new people, new possibilities that I thought were interesting. So I thought of each one of them as a little gift, like something that I never would have had otherwise, as opposed to, and possible opportunities, as opposed to the opportunity that somehow I get disappointed or discouraged about. So anyway, so I went on a couple of the dating sites that were kind of traditional dating sites, I guess, like eHarmony and stuff like that. And it turns out that all the people I was looking at, now I think I'm expanding out. You know, I've been in a monogamous heterosexual relationship, but I definitely consider myself queer. And so I wrote myself down as bisexual, not on that particular site, eHarmony. I don't know if they have any interest in whatever is on the sexual spectrum. But every person on that site reminded me of my husband, who is, like I said, a lovely guy. But, you know, I've kind of moved in a different kind of spiritual direction. And I'm definitely into evolving and understanding my mind. And he's not heading in that direction. But everybody that I looked at looked like they weren't heading in that direction either. And so I realized that I actually had to find a different site. And so I found myself on something called Spiritual Singles. And the great thing about Spiritual Singles is that the things that I'm interested in, or the things that are important to me, are actually on the site. It was really, really wild. And I didn't even know that that was a possibility, that I could actually put my bio out there and ask for the things that I want and love and I'm interested in. And I can have other people who also find this extremely interesting and want similar kinds of things. And some of the questions that they're asking, which I just really, really vibed with, or let's see, is it okay to tell a tiny white lie to protect someone's feelings? And they go into all those different answers about that. And you can not only answer like what your answer would be, but also what answers you'd accept from somebody else. Things like, how often do you recycle or reuse or repurpose what would have been trash? Stuff like that. Is it important that your partner have the same eating habits as you? So as you might know, I'm an Alaskan vegan, which means unless you've hunted it and killed it, I'm not eating it or exploiting it. And that's kind of what I figured out being up in Alaska here, is that because the Native Alaskans that I've been fortunate enough to be able to think about do a lot of subsistence hunting. I mean, really, this is one of the last places, definitely in the United States, where you could actually live off the land. And so I'm an Alaskan vegan because I really try to not place judgment about what people do to survive and really try to make the world as least exploitative as possible, so that these people can actually continue to, you know, hunt and gather the way they had been for the last 10,000 years so that they could survive, because really no good food is coming up in this direction. But other questions on the site, which is pretty amazing, like Star Trek or Star Wars, or how important is sexual intimacy to you, or rate your level of self-confidence. There are just so many. How important is spirituality to you? You know, what's your preferred way of exercising? Do you enjoy public displays of of affection? Have you ever had or experienced lucid dreams? I mean, really, like I think these are important questions that are definitely important to me. And they were asking them. But not only were they asking them, I was getting a sense about what was important to me so that I know that I could ask for them if I wanted to ask for them. And that was pretty amazing, I thought. So anyway, that's my website, Spiritual Singles. Now, will I meet somebody on Spiritual Singles? I don't know. I think I'm just interested in making a friend. But at least I know that there's a place where I can figure out what's really important to me and that there's a possibility to find somebody who that is as or is important to as well. But really, I'm looking for making friends with people who are passionate about things, people who are interested in moving their lives forward and making a huge difference in the world and also making a shit ton of money while doing it. Like I think that that what you put out in the world is somehow equal in some ways to the money you receive, like almost as an energetic exchange. And so, you know, if you're not making enough money, and I think that we have this idea that somehow our activists or our do-gooders, and they tend to be women really, because, you know, most of our work is unpaid, but our do-gooders shouldn't be asking for money. It's almost like not virtuous to ask for money. But I think that the more money you make, the more you realize you're reaching people to do that good with. And if you're not making much money, or if you're not getting anything in exchange, you're probably going to burn yourself out at some point fairly soon. And you might not be doing as wide or as an expansive a service to other people. Anyway, I started this episode off with a rant, which is really interesting for me. And I'm trying to keep these things somewhat snack size because just want you to, you know, like live this fantastically joyous life. And the joyous life is one that embraces the normal ups and downs of life, but doesn't get too flipped out when a hard thing comes by your way. I mean, seriously, we were not promised an easy life. And so if you don't expect that you're going to have one, then the part of life that gets difficult that you can experience in a much more objective way or in a way that doesn't freak you out almost from the outside looking in will definitely make that particular part of it easier to handle. And life so much more, I know, it's so much more interesting and so much less stressful if those parts of your life don't knock you over and throw you for a loop at every moment. But so usually we start the episode with the commitment, and I'm just going to say it. And like I said, please write this commitment down, put it on your mirror, do something with it. So I joyfully promise from this moment on to never give up on my dreams and goals. I choose to remember always that the whole world is mine to explore, and I need never be alone in figuring it out and making it just right. That I was born worthy and lovable without condition, and whatever brought me to this place is just the journey to my present and future self, and not the sum total of who I am or who I will become. And I love that. And like I said, it is the absolute truth of the universe that we all have this possibility and we deserve this, especially if you're listening to this podcast, then you know that things are possible. And I am a living example of things that are possible. It's just really amazing. And I love being that for people. And then the next thing we were doing, only because I think if you're going to really start to be able to handle those hard situations, handle any feeling, you really do know how, or you have to know how to manage your thoughts. That is the only wiggle room you have. You have no other ability to manage the other people around you or generally the circumstances around you, although you might try to manage those circumstances around you. But evolution and change will happen whether you want it to or not. And it'll come in weird ways. It'll show up in your body in weird ways, you know, ways in which you get sick or ways in which you get scared or panic attacks or whatever it is. So you might as well go for it. But this commitment is really the true offerings of the universe. And it has always been true, even though we've gotten so many thoughts and ideas that it's not, that we don't deserve it and somehow we can't have it. But I am on lesson 8 of A Course in Miracles, and I kind of love A Course in Miracles. And if you've been with me all this time, you've been through the first 7 lessons, and hopefully you've had a little time at least to ponder it as the week goes on. But lesson 8 is particularly interesting to me because this is really how I coach most of my patients that come in. And like I said, I've been taking care of Native Alaskans at present time for the last 2 years. And before that, I was the medical director of a homeless project and a large FQHC. And past traumas really had defined so many people and their present life and affected future generations. And this concept in lesson 8 is the one that I'm really trying to help people figure out how to work through. And that doesn't mean I diminish their trauma, that's for sure. But the trauma is actually continuing in present moment, the same way that if you broke a limb and you had a cast on it and you decided to just never take off that cast, but your limb already healed, like you are already a whole and intact, worthy and lovable person. That's kind of what it's like. Anyway, so the lesson is my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. Okay, the one holy true thought one can hold about the past is that it's not here. To think about it at all is therefore to think about illusions. Now that's so interesting to me because all of our memories are plastic. Like if you talk to 5 people about something that they had experienced, all 5 people will tell you different things. I remember hearing a case of somebody where there was a professor who swore that they gave a lecture on this particular subject and was talking about it. And his student said, no, that wasn't you. That was this other professor who didn't. He's like, no, I absolutely gave that lecture. And it turns out that the professor wasn't even in the country at that point, that he was someplace else. And so in his mind, he had switched that memory around that he, for some reason, had given that lecture or had taught that concept or came up with that idea or whatever it was. So memory is an incredibly plastic thing. If you talk about a family and what happened to each person in the family, their experience of it is completely different. If I asked my mother what happened to me when I was young, she would have a completely different answer than I have, which in some ways is extremely hopeful. First of all, I never go in expecting that my mother is going to apologize for whatever happened in the past because she hasn't done the work to do it. She doesn't have the ballast to sit there and feel bad feelings, nor to hear my upset feelings. And she also rewrote the past. So it's not exactly the same. But with this idea that the past is what we're thinking about at present moment, and that all our thoughts are related to the past, means that our thoughts aren't necessarily our own, that they've come in from the past in some way, shape, or form, that either they were formed by our past experiences, or they're almost literal recordings of what other people said in the past, which is so hopeful. What it means is that you can decide that this thought is not necessarily your own, and you can look at it. And you can decide whether you want to keep it or not, because that thought that wasn't necessarily yours, that is shaped by your past, is just one that you have been practicing. And practicing so beautifully that it gets placed in the posterior part of your brain that doesn't even have to think about what it is that it's saying or what it is that it's thinking. It almost has this unbeknownst to you thought or whatever it is. It's just like a little knee-jerk thought that happens, but it's not necessarily a reality of what you are thinking. So the thoughts that are coming up for you that are the vision of your past, it's not necessarily you, even though we are so freaking attached to it. So what you're going to do is you're going to start just for a minute at a time, 3 or 4 times a day, just repeat this line. I seem to be thinking about dot, dot, dot. And then name each thought specifically. For example, I seem to be thinking about some person, about something, about some emotion, about something. And on, concluding at the end of the mind searching period with, but my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. So you're thinking these things, and then you're deciding that that is a past thought and that your mind is preoccupied with it. Now you're doing that about 4 or 5 times a day, unless it really annoys the crap out of you. And if you find it annoying the crap out of you, you can do a little bit less than that. But I think it's really useful to notice the things that annoy the shit out of you, because if you notice the things that annoy the shit out of you, then you kind of have like a little roadmap or a backward thread to something early that happened to you that was probably pretty freaking annoying. So you just get to look at it. Look and look and look and look. Be curious, be curious, be curious, be curious. And then mine those thoughts up and look at them objectively. Don't be scared of them. They just are. They've been put there. They've been installed. They've been practiced. Decide if you want to think them or not. And if you don't, then you can do one of those latter thoughts that we talked about, reaching for the next best thought, doing a thought that is just a little bit more benign, but you can believe. And then you're on your way, and then practice, practice, practice that. Anyway, this stuff is so fantastic. I love it. And really, I have an incredibly, incredibly joyous life. And most of it is because I actually can look at things that feel really difficult and not experience them as quite so difficult. I experience the feelings, and I am able to really handle feelings, and I have a lot of them, and I love to cry, and I will teach you how to do that with each other so that you could spend time paying attention to each other. But if you want this glorious, joyous life, get in touch with me, Nikki@drnikkinaridan.com, and then see if I have time to work with you. All right. I love you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Hey, everybody, if you want to work with me and really figure shit out, get unstuck and off the emotional roller coaster and heading towards your passion, and I know you can, get in contact with me and let's work together. It'll be worth it for the life of your dreams. Okay, you can get in touch with me at Nikki@drnikkinaridan.com. That's Nikki@drnikkinaridan.com. Take care. Love you guys.